What's happening, runners? Welcome back to another episode of the Trackster podcast, the podcast where we talk all things running, the highs, the lows, the ugly bits, and everything in between. My name is Lloyd. I'll be your host for today's episode. Today, I'm sitting down and talking with Steph McCall. She's just competed in her first ever ultra, the Two Oceans Ultra Marathon in South Africa. And she's also the co-founder and co-host of the running podcast, 5 Miles Easy. Today, we're going to be talking all things ultra marathon running. If you have ever considered running one, then today you're going to get some golden tips. We're also going to talk about the podcast that she co-hosts and does alongside Rose Harvey. And we talk about running media as well. What's good, what's bad, and what needs to get in the bin. Now, if you'd like to follow along with what we're doing at Trackster and this podcast, please head over to our Instagram and drop us a follow. And you can also check out our website, trackster.com. That's where we put all of our longer form content from our YouTube channel. Finally, if you do enjoy these episodes, please do support us. Leave us a review, and you can now find this episode available on all platforms. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Steph. How are we?
I am doing well, thank you. I'm still waiting for the English summer to arrive, but other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, it's a little bit bleak considering it's pretty much May and I'm still wearing gloves on my runs.
I know, it's a joke, isn't it?
And how British of us to talk about the weather to get things going.
Well, yeah, you've got to. That's how I start all my conversations, the weather. It is very British, but it is something to complain about.
So, Steph, for those that are not aware of who you are, go on then, introduce yourself. Tell us your USPs.
My USPs, okay. Yeah, so I'm Steph. I'm a distance runner. I've run since I was a teenager. I also co-host a podcast called 5 Miles Easy, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit. And I work in finance as well, which is probably not the interesting part of my life. But yeah, running definitely dominates a big part of my life. So yeah, love it.
I know a few people that work in finance and they all say the same. Oh, you don't want to hear about it. So boring. Is it really that boring?
Well, to be fair, like I've made it a bit more interesting with my own choices in that I maybe started on the boring side of it. So I worked at Barclays, so a bank, very typical, got my accountancy qualification. And then I decided, you know what, like I want to use this in an industry that I'm actually interested in. So then I kind of moved into the gym industry. So I now work at a gym called Foundry, which definitely makes it way more interesting because I can kind of utilize the finance skills, but in an industry that I'm like, I actually am passionate about this and I care about it. And I can maybe get involved with the business beyond just finance, which, yeah, makes it a bit more interesting, I suppose.
And do you get a free gym membership? That's the most important question.
I do. Yeah.
Company perks.
Yeah, definitely.
So you said there that you've been running since you was a teenager. Talk to me about where it all started running for you. Was it through the club system or was it a different way?
Yeah, so part of, I always think it's a typical way in, but actually my one's maybe not as typical because the first time I joined an athletics club, which was when I was 11, was actually for sprints, which I laugh at now because I'm just like, oh my God, if I had to do 100 meters, 200 meter sprint races, it would not go well for me. But yeah, at the time, like I didn't actually have that much endurance. I was very, very sporty, but just kind of quick over short distances. So that's why I thought, okay, I'm going to be a sprinter. And then it wasn't until I got an opportunity to be a ball girl for Queens, which was super cool. And that was when I was 13. And I think all the training for that, I was one of those ones that kind of sit at the net and, you know, run across and get the ball. So it was a lot of running involved. And I honestly think like the month's worth of training for that just built my endurance naturally. And so I think it was when I went into year 9 after that, I thought I'm just going to try out for the cross country team. It was kind of one of the teams I hadn't really tried for at school because I did most of the other sports. And yeah, I just was like, oh, I can keep going. And I got onto the team, did the local schools races. I think it was Sutton Schools. And then I qualified for the Surrey team there. Didn't make it further than the Surrey team that year, but eventually I did qualify for English schools. But yeah, it was a couple of years after that that I ended up joining an athletics club. And I, yeah, just hadn't really looked back since. Just kind of progressed from there and did the usual sort of 1500 meters on the track. And then when I went to uni, I guess I just started stepping up a little bit into 5K, 10K, and increasing distance over time.
And where, in terms of the ball girl story, I mean, that's a real niche one. I've always wanted to meet a ball boy or a boy girl. Like, you hear all these stories, like, the training is so intense and they put these kids through literally like SAS-style training. Is it that hard?
It was quite intense. Yeah, I think it is intense. And you have to be, it is very disciplined. And the whole training, it was almost like an audition the whole way, because they're constantly cutting people from it until like 2 weeks before they announce, here's the final group that are going to be going. So you're kind of like always trying to perform and impress. And it is, yeah, it is. There's a lot of pressure involved, because a lot of it is just being good at rolling a ball. But the number of times you just throw it into the air without it rolling on the ground, because you're trying to be quick. But yeah, it is intense, and you do need to be fit for it. But honestly, that experience, I did it 2 years in a row when I was 13 and 14, and it's still like some of the most amazing memories I have. It's just so cool.
And what's the difference between like Queens and Wimbledon, obviously different competitions, but were you ever tempted to go for the Wimbledon, or was that not a thing? Do you not like crossover?
No, so it depends on what school you go to. So Wimbledon, So Wimbledon had like loads of local schools from around the area. And my school wasn't one of those. And Queens was actually only my school and another school did Queens. So yeah, there was no crossover there. But yeah, I enjoyed my time, so I was never too jealous.
Hailing from Luton, this is probably the poshest conversation I've ever had in my life.
trying to
decipher the entry requirements of becoming a ball girl at Wimbledon and not Queens. Amazing.
I know, at the time it feels normal, right? But you look back at all these things, you're just like, wow, we were privileged, weren't we?
There's so much going through my head right now. But that's such a cool little story that I did not think was going to come up today in the episode. So that is a golden nugget we've got there. We'll definitely clip that one up on the ins and outs of becoming a ball girl by Steph McCall.
Yep.
I love that. So running, let's get into it. You've just completed, I think, a very interesting race. For someone that has no idea about that side of the sport, what did you do? Where was it? What did it involve? Just give me the lowdown.
Yeah, I mean, you say as someone that has no idea about that side of the sport, it's very new to me as well. And the only reason I knew about this race was I know a few people that are either from South Africa or live in South Africa and had been like going on at me about getting into this race. And the name of it is Two Oceans. It's in Cape Town. It's a 56 kilometer or 35 mile ultra marathon on the road. And it's like over 2,200 feet of elevation. I think that's over 700 meters. But yeah, it's a weird one of why I wanted to do it. It's, I guess, because people had kind of said to me, Steph, you're going to be really good at this. But at the time, for a while, I was still doing marathon training and really wanting to nail the marathon. So I was like, you know, one day maybe. But there was something in the back of my mind where I was like, I know I'm quite good at holding a pace for a long time. And it's, the distance isn't really a scary part for me. I think in the marathon, the scary part for me is the pace. It's like, am I going to be able to hold this marathon pace? Whereas obviously the further you go, kind of the slower you need to start. I was just interested, and I've done a few marathons now, and I think I just needed a mental break from it. Like, I know I've got a good marathon in me, but I was just like, you know what, I just want to park this for a second, stop putting all focus on the marathon and kind of feeling that internal pressure to perform. And let me just look at a different distance where I can still be competitive and it's still going to test me, but it just means that I've got a bit of a wider range of things that I can focus on, so that when maybe I go back to the marathon, it's that I'm not thinking, okay, this is the one distance that I need to nail. It's actually just part of other distances that I do. So that was kind of the thought behind it, really.
And how did it go on the day?
Yeah, it was good. So obviously, like, I had a plan in place, and I've been working with a sports psychologist for over a year now, just because of how I felt in marathons. And I just thought that's, it is something like, you know, I train my body so hard that like I don't do anything for my mind. And I thought, you know, this is probably something I should work on as well. And that's been amazing. So yeah, I kind of came up with a bit of a race plan, physically but and mentally, of like how to break it down, what I'd be thinking about at each point, and just kind of removing any big pressure or feeling overwhelmed, because the main thing I wanted to do was enjoy this race. And I think the whole build up, one thing that was so good for me was the whole build up. I was really excited for the race, and I don't think I've felt that very much in the last few years, where I do really enjoy the training. Like, I love marathon training, but I don't necessarily feel super excited for race day. Whereas for this one, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm buzzing. Like, I can't wait. I'm going to be in Cape Town. It's going to be really fun. Like, just, it's meant to be. I knew it was going to be like a beautiful course, which it was. And it was just something new. I was going into something that I'd never done before. So I wasn't thinking like, all eyes are on me. Not that they ever are, but you just have this like internal thing where people might expect a certain time for you. So I didn't feel any of that. And yeah, I think like mostly it went to plan. Like, I set off at the pace that I said I was going to set off at. People had given me loads of advice that this is a course where it's all about your effort, and you don't, the first half marathon is super quick. So you could like, you could run a half marathon PB for sure on this course, and you have to really hold back. And so I was aware that the first kind of hills at 30K and then the second big hills at 42. So like after you've done a marathon. And so you really need to like conserve your energy. But at the same time, like I said, I wanted to be competitive. So just kind of making sure I paced it right, that I'd have enough energy to go up the hills, getting my fueling right. And it all, yeah, it all really went to plan. Like, it was a really windy day, so I knew some of the paces might be a bit off, but I wasn't worried about that. And then the only bit that kind of didn't go to plan was I got to the top of the like last, like the biggest climb, which is from 42 to 46K. So you've got 10K to go, and it's kind of like downhill, but like rolling up and down all the way to the finish. And I thought, my plan in my head was, okay, I get to the top of that hill and I can just smash it to the finish. I mean, obviously bearing in mind you've run over a marathon already, but I get to the top and that's when my legs were like, they were obviously tired, but I felt like I could still go for it, but they were just like really threatening to cramp. And I just thought, oh god, like I can't risk, I don't want to, because you know when you cramp, like you don't want to stop. So I was just like almost having to just adjust how I was running and kind of just holding back a bit in that last 10K, just because I was like, I need to finish this. So that was really painful. And it was kind of the bit where it's a bit out of your control. So there's not much I could do about it other than like just control my effort and like not allow my legs to cramp in that last bit. So I did have to slow down, but I couldn't be disappointed. Like my aim was to come top 10, which I did. And I guess my B goal was sub 4 hours, which I got. My A goal was under 3:50, but that kind of went out the window in the last 10K. But yeah, overall, I was super happy. It was obviously my first time doing an event like that. So I kind of just thought, you know, you've got to be happy with that. And there are loads of things I can kind of take away to work on. And but the main thing was that I really, really enjoyed it. And that's what I really wanted from it.
Yeah, I think a lot of our listeners will be able to relate to being guilty of, say, maybe doing certain distances and doing certain races because they feel they need to do them or they have to do them. But a lot of ultra runners that we spoke to on the show have also said, like, there's less pressure, there's longer, obviously, for you to be in your own headspace. There's a lot more to think about, which takes a little bit more pressure off of the performance side of things and splits and pace and race strategy. But I suppose in terms of the training, you're used to doing marathon training, so you're used to running a lot of miles anyway, especially coached by Jeff Watkin. You'll be used to working hard. But yeah. How did the training differ for this ultra? Was it really course specific or was it just more miles? How did that look?
Yeah, it wasn't. I think speaking to some other ultra runners, they kind of said to me that the ultras that are like, I guess, 50, 60K or so, it's not that different to marathon training. And that's really what I found is a lot of what I was doing was the exact same. So Tuesday, I would do normal intervals and I'd be doing those intervals, you know, with the group that are training for much shorter distances than I am. So that still all fit together nicely just to keep a bit of the speed work. And then Friday would be like long run session. And again, most of those were similar to like a marathon style session, but the only difference was is I did one where it was 3x10K continuous and you have Clarky smashing that out around Bushy Park, which is obviously pretty flat, whereas then I would go and do it in Richmond Park. And just to, and that it didn't completely mimic the elevation that I'd be doing in the race, but it definitely tires your legs in a different way when you're trying to progress your pace every 10K, but you've got some hills in the mix as well. So that just helped me get used to kind of that, the race not being flat like I'd normally be used to. And then the other difference was like time on feet run. So I'd normally do maybe 2.5 hours, 2 hours 45 for a marathon block, whereas this time I did a 3 hour and a 3 hour 10 time on feet run, and that was at like a pretty steady pace as well. So then the 3 hour 10 one, I think I did like maybe 28.5 miles, which had been was my longest run to date at the time, and I made sure I did that like not just on the flat either. So I'd go down to the Surrey Hills, keep it on the road because I was training for a road race, but have hills in the mix as well, just to get used to that. So those were, yeah, those were actually the main differences. My mileage was high. I probably did my highest mileage week ever, but it wasn't significantly higher than I would have done in marathon training.
And fueling wise, was it similar to how you'd fuel for a marathon and just extend it? So, you know, carry on with the X amount of grams of carbs per hour. What did that look like and sound like?
Yeah, I mean, exactly that. I've kind of been practicing that. So the last couple of marathons, just trying to fuel more and kind of be in that 60 to 90 grams of carbs per hour range. So, yeah, I mean, have it running for almost 4 hours. It's making sure you're fueling consistently. I was trying to aim for that 90 grams of carbs per hour, but obviously it just goes on longer. So, yeah, very regular intervals. I was lucky to have drinks along the way, so we had six drink stands that were spread out along the course, and then I had a bunch of gels as well. So I planned that all before just to make sure that like everything was very evenly spread out and I would never face any sort of energy dips, and that all went really well to plan. There was not one part of the race where I felt like I was low on energy. Definitely felt quite sick by the end, but yeah, 4 hours worth of just taking on sugar is a lot.
Yeah, it can add up. Even in the marathon, you get to that last gel and you're like, oh, I don't really want this, but I know I need it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So the first ultra has gone well, you know, all things considered. You describe it as it was a positive experience. So I suppose next question, which is classic for us runners, is what's next? You know, are you going to stick with the ultra? Are you going to go further? There's so many variables you can go with the ultra. You know, what is it you want to do?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think, well, in the immediate future, I'm actually going to step it back completely and do some speed work over the summer, just because I've done it like back-to-back marathon builds and I've not done the shorter stuff for a while. So that would be good. And I think that would just aid my marathon and beyond anyway. But yeah, next big goal, because I'm so new to the ultra world, like I don't really know what's out there. And I know there's a bunch of like trail races. I don't think I'm quite ready for that. I do want to stick to the road because I do still want to also focus on marathons. So yeah, I mean, if anyone can give me advice, if there are any good other road ultras out there, that would be great. But the alternative is that I do an autumn marathon as well. I just need to know what I'm excited for, because at the moment I'm still kind of doubting whether I'm ready to go back to the marathon. I know there's a good one there like in me, but I just need to pick the right time and actually be motivated and excited for it. Otherwise there's just no point. Like, you've got to do what you enjoy. So yeah, the fact that I enjoyed this race was a really good sign for me, because I was like, I knew beforehand, I was like, I hope I'm going to enjoy it because then it will allow me to know what I might want to do next. And the fact that I did is now like, okay, yeah, the ultra's definitely in my future. So I'd love to do two oceans next year. But yeah, I don't really know what else is out there other than when you get to like the really long distances. So obviously like comrades and stuff, but I'm not quite ready for that yet. So yeah, something to think about.
So for anyone that's listening that's considering doing their first road ultra, you've just done your first one. Maybe not now, but definitely a beginner beforehand. What was some piece of advice that you could pass on to those guys?
A good one. Well, pick one that you think is going to excite you and is going to be like a really cool course. Because that was one of the things for me is I knew, you know, even when you're in pain, it's a long way. So, you know, it's not like you're going to be feeling great the whole time. So even when you're in pain, you're kind of distracted by what's around you. So I knew the atmosphere would be amazing and I knew it was just going to be beautiful scenery as well. So that was a big thing for me, just as I love Cape Town and racing in Cape Town. So that was one of the things that attracted me. So just something that's going to excite you and you feel like it's going to be an enjoyable experience. And then, yeah, with the training, just don't overdo it. Like I said, I stuck to pretty much marathon training. You don't want to increase it loads on what you're used to. Gradually build up. And I think for those long runs, a mistake a lot of people I think may tend to make is that they want to prove to themselves that they can complete the distance. But when it gets to the ultra distances, you can't be running like the same distance as the race in training. As I said, like my longest was 28 and a half miles, which is long, but it was still 7 miles shorter than the distance of the race. And for me, that didn't worry me because the distance wasn't scary to me. But I think, you know, you just need to trust your training. And as long as you're kind of ticking some of those long sessions off, like you can cover the distance in a race. So yeah, that'd probably be my tip.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think that's quite relevant for even the marathon as well. A lot of runners are like, do I need to run 26 miles in training? Well, no, not necessarily. A lot of people don't do that. So yeah, similar sort of aim to the ultra, which is good to hear. If anyone's considering doing one, you don't need to run 35 miles in training if you're running a 35 mile race, that is.
So you do not.
We rarely have podcasters on the show because they're too bloody busy recording themselves. But it's nice to have one on. I think you're our first guest. Oh, no, we had Rose. We had Rose. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, we at Rose, least it was Rose.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think Rose would have been the only one. Yeah, so now we've had the full team from 5 Miles Easy. But yeah, for anyone that doesn't know about your podcast, obviously it's called 5 Miles Easy, but where did that originate from? You know, talk us through that story. You obviously do it with Rose. I'll leave it over to you.
Yeah, so it was probably about a year ago now. I think I was the first one to say very in passing to Rose, just, oh, you know what? Like, I really would love to do a podcast one day. And she was like, oh, no way. She'd been trying to set up a YouTube channel or something and like sort of test experimenting with things she might want to do. But she was like, I've really wanted to do it with someone else. And I was like, well, shall we like do something together then? And I think we're of quite similar work ethic, similar mindset, and we were already friends. We'd been in the same training group. We were, you know, we went on runs together and stuff. So this is when we would discuss all these sort of ideas, and it just kind of made sense. So from there, we were just like, okay, like let's think of a name. What do we actually want to achieve with this podcast? How do we want to do it? Took a while to find the name, but yeah, Rose came up with the name 5 Miles Easy, and she said it one day, and I was like, you know what, like it does have a ring to it because it is one of those runs that a lot of people just do, like you just go for your 5 Miles Easy run. So a shame for the people that work in K's, but you know what, it sticks. 8K easy, and
doesn't have the same ring, does it?
No, exactly. Everyone should convert to miles. So yeah, I think we then just sort of thought, you know, we want to create this platform. You know, there are loads of running podcasts out there now, but not loads that where you've got female hosts. And we wanted to create a platform where it would number one, kind of follow our own running journeys. What I think is quite cool is that Rose is obviously a professional marathon runner. You don't really have, I don't really know that many podcasts where you've actually got a very elite athlete as the host. And so you get, you know, firsthand insight into her training and her life, which I think is pretty cool. And then also just following my journey, the comparison between us, obviously, like, I'm not completely amateur, but it is a still a different life, me just balancing training with work. And it is, I guess, a different view to training versus how she lives her life as well. So yeah, I guess following our running journeys. And then we also wanted to be a platform where we would have a different, like a variety of guests on, that range between professional athletes, just specialists in certain fields like physios and doctors, etc., and also just very inspirational people that have like a really cool story to tell. And I think having that range just helps widen our audience, but also it serves as a platform just to educate people. And honestly, having these guests on really I find so interesting as well. I'm like, even if no one listens to this, I'm learning something from this, or I'm being inspired, and it can just be really motivating for my own journey as well. So I hope that other people feel the same way. So yeah, we started that the first episode launched last August. We've been pretty regular since then. We had a bit of a break earlier this year, but yeah, we love it. So we're excited to see where it goes. I think there are loads of opportunities in building a bit of a community around it. But yeah, we really enjoy doing it, which I think is the main thing. So yeah, it's been a fun journey so far.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's way better doing it with a co-host. You can just bounce off each other. Like, doing it solo is so hard because it's just too much like a game of tennis. Whereas like having someone else there, it's more like a chat.
Yeah. We kind of have to mind read as well, though, when we're interviewing guests, because we don't plan before. We'll have like all our notes on our cards, but we don't plan before who's saying what. So I have to, the whole time I'm listening to the answer of this guest, but I'm also thinking, is Rose about to ask the next question or am I? And we do that quite well, but there have been a couple of times where we both like start talking. So luckily we have a good editor for that. But yeah, no, it is good fun.
The power of a good editor. You can be really crap on the mic and still come out looking amazing.
Yeah. There but are I do some agree. Good outtakes.
I think it's great that, yeah, I'm a female host, because you're right. There's in the running world specifically, there's not many female podcast hosts. I think it brings a great dynamic with Rose being a professional. Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I think it's really good. And I also like that you've got such a variety of guests. You don't just have like elite athletes all the time. I think it's a great space, a great hole that you guys can fill for sure. And I suppose it brings me nicely onto my next question. You said when you was sort of introing the podcast, you know, you and Rose have similar views on what you want to achieve with the podcast. Can you give us an insight into that? What is it you want to achieve from doing the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the next things for us is kind of growing the community around it, because we know people listen, which is great, but I don't really know who's listening other than people that I actually know. So I'd love to like just connect with the audience a bit more, like know, you know, what do they want to hear from us, and just get to meet people and just build that community, like, you know, go on some runs with some of the listeners and have maybe some live podcasts with an audience so they can be there listening to it as well. So yeah, I think that's definitely one of the things that we'd love to build. And then the other side of it is, so all of our podcasts, they go on YouTube because they're recorded, but that's all that goes on YouTube at the moment. So I think maybe some more like behind the scenes of what we get up to, you know, behind the scenes of races and yeah, just any sort of part of our journeys as well. I think people can be super interested in that. Rose did one for behind the scenes of Chicago Marathon, and that went down really well. And that was very like just edited ourselves, you know? So we were like, if we could just make this a bigger thing, then, you know, that could be a route as well. Just more sort of insights into our journeys. Yeah, those are the main things.
So now you've started the podcast. I mean, you might not be able to relate to this, but I feel like you are going to be able to. you're consumed by running content. Like, your whole feed is just clips of running, clips of podcasts about running, just the whole thing, right? I can't get away from it. So now you're in that world and you're thinking as a podcaster, you're thinking with that sort of hat on, you know, looking at something and going, oh, you know, that looks quite cool, we could do that, or oh, I've got a really good idea. What have you learned since starting the podcast about running media that maybe you weren't quite aware of, the good and the bad? I'm just trying to get an understanding of, you know, a fellow podcaster.
You're trying to get tips.
I promise you, I'm not looking for tips. I promise.
No, yeah, it's funny. I guess I did have a lot of it in my feed beforehand, but it's probably now I'm more aware, like, oh, that's really cool, that works. And there are so many different types of platforms out there. So you've got like the running coaching apps, you've got YouTube channels, you've got these accounts that are, you know, like Trackster, that are posting like news of what's going on in the athletics world. And what I realize is running's growing so much just in society. You know, you see so many running groups out there at the moment. And I always say this, I'm so proud of, you know, some of my closest school friends that were never runners, and now they absolutely love it, just because the barriers are being broken down. And I do think a lot of that is down to social media as well. You know, people just making it seem like running isn't a chore, it's not a punishment, it can be fun, it can be sociable, and times it can be hard, but it's so rewarding. And I think, so now when I scroll through my feed, like, I actually really love seeing such a variety of people, not just the elite runners, but also those just starting out and just sharing their story as well of, you know, like, I used to hate it, now I'm here, and just like opening those doors to people. So that's kind of one side of it. But then the other side, in kind of that elite world, I think having updates of what's going on in the athletics world is like super, super useful, because it didn't always used to be there. You'd have to really be a proper hardcore like running nerd to find out all this information, or be like streaming things all the time. Whereas now it's like immediate. London Marathon finishes and you know exactly who's won, what time they've run. Okay, this world record was broken, this was the first Brit. And you don't have to search really hard for it anymore. I can literally open Instagram and because of my algorithm, it's right at the top of my feed. So I think, yeah, just the accessibility of running and getting that information is great. So, yeah, I think if we link that back to our podcast, it's definitely something that we would want to look at as well, in terms of just what content are we putting out there. And it's so hard to nail everything at once. So we're doing kind of, you know, one thing at a time. But I think, yeah, that's one of the things that definitely attracts an audience.
Okay, so here's one question, slightly controversial. What's one thing from the running media world you would love to see, maybe more of, or something new? And what's one thing from the running media world you'd love to put in the bin?
Oh, good question.
I literally just thought of that off the top of my head, that question.
Yeah, you didn't give me any warning for that one.
No,
I didn't. Okay, on the spot, things that I'd want to put in the bin is still like, I do see a lot of still like unhealthy language around running sometimes, where it's like, oh, I've done this massive run, I've earned my lunch, or like I've earned my whatever. And it's like, well, is that the reason you were running? I don't know. Like, I still think there is a bit of, I thought we'd kind of moved away from like running equals weight loss type thing. And it's actually, there's so much more to it, where running is for mental health, it's for physical health, it's to push barriers, achieve goals, do things you didn't think you were capable of. So that's like the one thing I really hate, is when I see that online. It's like, oh, you deserve this now because you ran this far, because that's not the reason you should run.
Agreed.
And then... Yeah, good. And then the other thing, so the thing that, what do I want to see more of? Oh, I don't know, like insights into people's training is cool. So like seeing Emil's training diary in the build up to London, like you don't necessarily, unless athletes are really open on Strava, like you don't see that sort of information a lot. And it's actually quite, if you put that into the wider media, so even people that aren't elite athletes or like they're more recreational can see kind of what it takes to become at that level, it's like it is inspiring. And it just gives you a feel for like, okay, this is the gap of where you are to, like, if you want to achieve this, it's kind of how much you have to, how much of your life you have to commit to the sport. So yeah, I think any sort of like behind the scenes or insights into people's training is really cool.
Yeah, Mills training opened a lot of eyes, I think. Did you see the full thing?
Yeah, well, I saw the original one, which just looked like a different language to me. Yeah. It was like code. Yeah, it was a lot. But yeah, I saw it all and you just think, wow, like the shortest day was like, what, 19 miles? And that was like a super easy day, which is just
mad. I read
it
and I was like, I went through it and eventually it was just like blibs and blobs on the screen. I was like, so many numbers. This is just so confusing. I got it, but it was just too much. So then I was like, okay, no, I'll just skim over it. And then about 2 days later, someone made a point of saying that he went for a 45K run. And I was like, how did I not see that? How did I miss that he went for a 45K run and the pace as well?
Oh, I know. But you know what I liked as well is that you see like his warm-ups and some of his easy runs, like they are slow. Obviously his sessions and like some of those long runs are crazy, crazy fast. But it is nice to see that someone at that level, like he is running slow sometimes. You don't have to do everything like a sprint, which I do think still, obviously different training works for different people. And there is a wide range of things that work, but it is always reassuring to know that running slow and running easy does help you run faster.
Yeah, massively, massively. Steph, it's been a pleasure talking to you. For our listeners that have never listened to 5 Miles Easy, where can they go to find it?
So you can listen to 5 Miles Easy on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or I think there are a few others that people use, but any podcast platform, and you can watch it on YouTube.
And if we want to follow you on Instagram, where do we go?
What, 5 Miles Easy? The 5 Miles Easy one
and
is...
you.
Okay, yeah. Well, 5 Miles Easy is like the number 5 Miles Easy, and me is just at Steph McCall.
All right, amazing. Easy. Well, best of luck for the rest of the year, and I look forward to seeing you in your next race, whether that's a shorter one or a longer one. But thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm sure I'll see you in Bushy Park soon.
Absolutely, I'll see you soon. Thanks again for joining us for another episode of the Trackster podcast, where we talk all things running, the highs, the lows, the ugly bits, and everything in between. Big shout out to our guest, Steph, for her time on the show today. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, please do leave us a review and head over to our Instagram at Trackster to keep up to date with everything that we're up to. I've been Lloyd, your host for the day. I'll catch you down the road for a run and a chat. But in the meantime, have a great week.